10 fitnas, 10 problems. Now those people that were sleeping there on the street, they said, no, tomorrow we'll fix these people up. What they're doing to us, we'll fix them up tomorrow. So the third day, these people came again to wake. Here the people were prepared. Now they had the lathis, you know, the sticks. The moment they came to charge, they charged them all, finish. Now there's a court case, there's a fight between this people and that people. There's bayans going on. People are getting up for namaz and you're taking them to court and you're fighting them. So this big problem started off, where it started off from this point. That you just learned one point and you didn't understand how it's applied, circumstance, style, person, how do you approach the situation. So all this has to be understood and all this is understood with time. Therefore they ask you to come and refreshen yourself all the time. Not only 4 months every year, 4 months and 40 days, 3 days. You're hearing, you're seeing situations, adjustments, changes, what's happening here, what's happening there. So all these things are to train you up. Then your own weaknesses as well. Not only what approach you must use amongst people, but the weaknesses within you. Sometimes there is a weakness within us as well. We can become over-concerned about others, and then we neglect ourselves, or we neglect our families, we neglect our near and dear ones. Whereas there is about 4 verses of Qur'an Sharif explicitly speaking about the near ones and the dear ones. Anzir ashiratika al-aqrabin, first ayat. It's a Qur'anic command, and the Qur'anic command comes for wujub. Amr al-wujub comes to show compulsion, and not just an option. It's not an option. It's a compulsion. Then again the Quran Sharif says, Ku anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourselves and your household from the fire. If it is important to speak to others, then it's important to speak to your household as well. So sometimes, because of the deficient knowledge and the deficient exposure, you're not in contact with your elders, whether you're in the khanqa, in the madrasa, or in the jamaat. But that contact with your elder is so important. That deficiency and what it leads you to. And when you're getting matured now, you're seeing things and you're maturing all the time. See, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Explicit, clear command of كَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاءِ. Third ayat of the Quran Sharif. See? So, the Quran Sharif is replete with this type of commands that you look after your household as well. And the reason is obvious that if Jannat is for other people, then it is for you and for your household as well. If Deen is important for others, then isn't it important for your household as well? The second reason is for you to remain motivated, to remain charged and to remain motivated, then you need a support. You need a support. The support base will be your household. Now, if you walk into your home and one child is watching television, one child is looking at some novel, someone is listening to some music, and someone is playing some type of a game, draft or monopoly or something, right? And someone is looking at television, right? Someone is playing with the cell phone. Now, is that an environment that can motivate you? And if you see this type of an environment within your house, you'll get stuck into one of these things. 1-2 days you may resist, may dislike it, but thereafter you feel that's my own children now, I can't be so hard upon them. And you will use your own logic and reasoning. If you can't beat them, then join them. So you start joining them. And the evil that they are in, then you'll get stuck in that same vice. Right? So you need your home support, your home base to be strong. If that is strong, then you feel motivated. So like you worked on the others, then you worked in your own home. So gradually you're thinking now, what should I be doing? My children, I can't be harsh, I can't be aggressive, I can't shout them, I can't hit them. Then how to work on them? It's my father, my elder, and we're sharing one home. Or we're living near each other. But I don't want to go Jannat alone, I want to go with them as well, take them as well. If I want it for myself, then won't I want it for my parents, for my children, for my dear and near ones? But then when I want it for them, then how must I work? Then you have that fikr, you have that concern, then you'll be asking the elders, perhaps in Nizamuddin, oh, all right, now I got something. Otherwise, you can also have another attitude. If you don't consult your elders and you do your own thing, then you can have another approach. And that approach can be an approach of arrogance sometimes. Sometimes it's attitude. Hazrat Mawlana Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, one person was going out in Jamaat regularly and he gave his whole life. Wealthy background, his whole life. So Mawlana began to receive complaints. Okay, when he's giving talks, then he says, "Tum log to dunya ke kutte hai. Kare dunya ke piche pare ho. You people are the dogs of the dunya. It is running after dunya." So Mawlana weighed him out and said, "You know what you do? You go 6 months in Jamaat and 6 months you work in the business." So now 6 months in Jamaat and 6 months in business is being balanced. So now the dunya ka kutta just dropped off straight away. Because he's after dunya also. 6 months he's doing business. So when he's got 6 months business and 6 months in Jamaat, now it balanced off. Now you see the importance of keeping that contact. Keeping that contact. This is where we're losing out today. That we don't maintain that contact. Whether with the khanqa, whether with the Jamaat, whether with the elders. One thought must come into our minds and then we just apply that thought. Now, these people were becoming thick with this person, with this type of statement. You're just running after the dunya like dogs here. So they had enough of that. They complained to the Markaz, this is what's going on. So Mawlana had to explain to them. Now, you, in these situations, you have different type of responses. Now, if a new person or a person that is a little bit weak, he listens to this type of talk, his response will be, the Jamaat people are terrible. See what they're talking. They think, oh, we're running after dunya like dogs. These are Jamaat. So now, this type of mixed response and wrong response came out because of what? Because the person failed to keep a contact with his elders. Elders didn't ask him to do this type of a thing. He went and did it of his own. But because of him doing it of his own, he created a bad name for the Jamaat. Jamaat asked him to work in a different style. And he did not apply their style, he applied his own method. So, some of the reasons of maintaining this taluk, with your elders, maintaining ana jana, amad raft, keeping up, meeting, talking, going back, coming. It's not a one-off thing. Really, maybe one in a billion person has got that type of understanding, that he met the Buzrugs for one, two times, and he's so settled that he knows exactly where to place what thing. One in a billion, not even a million. Otherwise, nearly everybody, he needs to come back. It must be a comeback. Must be. And the more he's going to be reporting to his elders, the more balanced and the more calm he'll be. His approach will be right. Like he'll be going out in Jamaat, then he'll be taking care of his household as well. Now when he's taking care of his household, so when he comes home, he's been Jamaat also and he's in contact with his elders. So the elders are guiding him. When they're guiding him, now he's improving the quality of the life in the house. So as he's pulling into his house and his wife is reading Quran Sharif, his daughter is performing namaz, his child is in dua, and his other son is making zikr, his father is reading tahajjud, for example. So everybody, there is some activity. When there is some activity, now this youngster that is pulling into the house, will he feel comfortable looking at the television or video or music? He won't feel comfortable. The whole house is booming with activity. It's active. Someone making zikr, tilawat, Quran Sharif, namaz, dua, he's crying away. This person is making tilawat, he's making salatul tasbih. So I will look like a black sheep if I go and do this video and all that. If I'm going looking at, I'm listening to music or something, really I won't be comfortable yet. So the importance of getting a balance in both the things and this relationship. Number one is that it creates a balance. Number two, third advantage is people view you like this. Okay, if what he's saying is true, is right, then his household supposed to be supporting him. Why aren't they supporting him? He's going on a different tangent, and they are going on a different tangent. He's talking about namaz and all that, and they are talking about videos. So both are going on opposite directions. If he's right, then why aren't the household also cooperating with him? Now, when he's got the support of the house, and then he's speaking, now he's speaking from a position of strength. You see, the whole house is vibrating in the same way. The whole house is talking the same thing. So he's speaking from a position of tremendous strength. Hazrat Muhammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, there's two incidents of his. You see, we are talking about enjoining the right. And we have to do it because إِنَّ الْأَمْرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ قُدْوَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ فِي الدِّينِ. It's an important pillar of deen. It's not just an option, it's a pillar of deen. But then to execute a pillar, you need to know how to do it. Namaz is a pillar of deen. Can you just say, because namaz is farz, I'm doing it now? And you're facing the wrong direction. Right? It's farz. But you need to know how to do it. Or you're performing namaz, but you're performing namaz without wuzu. Say, farz, I'm doing my farz. Yes, it's farz, but you need to know how to do it. So go and learn how to do it. Going and facing the wrong direction, or you're doing a namaz without wuzu. So it has to be done, but it has to be learnt as well. Then the quality of namaz has to be improved. So that also has to be learnt. One is the outer dimension of namaz, then is the inner dimension of namaz. Both need to be learnt. Not just the outer as well as the inner. Both need to be learnt. Otherwise you are buying a fruit, you know. You're buying a watermelon, for example, and from the outside, from the shell, it looks too beautiful and attractive, and you slice into it, and you see it's decayed from within. Would you appreciate this? You don't appreciate this. So the outer must be right, and the inside must be right. You can't just content yourself by saying that the outer is right, and neglect the inner completely. You bought an egg very beautiful looking, but it's rotten, it's smelling from within. Do you like that? You won't like that. So you want the outer to be good, but the inner must be even better than what is the outside. Now this applies to everything. Now you got married to a woman, outwardly she looks very, very beautiful. But when you brought her into the home, oh, she's swearing, she's abusive, she's insulting, she lives a dirty life. So now you got to know her from within. Before you got to know her from without, now from within. Now you appreciate this, you don't appreciate this. So you need to have the both dimensions working well. The inside as well as the outer, both need to be correct. And for that you need to keep improving yourself. You can't remain stationary at one standard. As Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, ke deen mein jumood aur rukood nahi hai. There is no stagnation in deen. You're either moving up or you're going downwards. There's no stagnation. You need to keep moving. And I repeat this, that movement, that progress is then by you keeping that contact with your elders. Keep that contact. And whilst keeping the contact, you don't listen about their weaknesses and don't get too close. If you get too close, then you know you learn someone's weakness, for example. Now you got turned away from the person because you learnt of one weakness. Maybe it was a genuine weakness. Maybe it wasn't a weakness, but you saw him at the wrong time. Right? You saw him perhaps, and he was joking with his children. He's playing catching game with them, and singing one song with the children now. So he's busrug, and he's singing a song and running around with children. How can he be a saintly person? So you saw him at that time, and you had doubts about him. So that's why I say for most people, some people, they can understand these things in perspective, but most people can't understand how can he behave like this. But that person has got the understanding, he sees this, he's not concerned about it. He sees it in a different way. But the person that doesn't have that understanding, then for him, it is better that you keep a contact, but don't go too close. Because you may see something, and you may create an aversion. You may have a dislike for the person. And then, when you have a dislike, then you'll move away. You're not going to keep a contact, what's going to happen? You'll be distanced away just now. So just keep a relationship, but don't get too close. So you come for a short while and move again. But this to and fro, to and fro. This is very much required. You know, your body also grows in time. It doesn't grow straight. From the time that you were born, gradually they had to nourish you, feed you, gradually look at all the problems, difficulties, and they nurtured you until you came, إِذَا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ, you came to your full peak. You didn't peak straight away. So much of time, and then just for your physical dimension, so much of a tough time was required to come to the perfection. So the same happens with the inner dimension. So much of pain, so much of difficulty, so much of sabr and patience, then you get the inner dimension right. Now, we think now it came Ramzan time, etikaf, fana fi shaykh happened, now finish. Fana came, you know, came a buzrug. Hey, yeah, you know, you came here, and as though you came to the scanning machine, you know. The scanning machine will just show you these are your problems. That's the only thing that you have discovered up till now. Only the scanning machine will just show you what's your problems. Then you have to work after it. You have to work upon it. Like I told you, the child, right? He doesn't just come to his maturity and he doesn't peak in one go. So much of effort is required, so much of patience, so much of work is required in the child for the child to come up to develop. And here on the deen side, hey, one short of just come up, came there, fanafi shaykh, fanafillah, baqi billah, everything happened. Got one, two dreams and all that, couple of experiences and all that I got. So I am moving. Now this is, you know, trying to analyze things like how you want it to be analyzed. So this takes time, that takes time as well. It doesn't happen overnight. In time and place, all these things will fall in place. But then we need to have the patience, we need to be servicing this all the time. Servicing it all the time. That contact is very, very, very important. Right? The greater the contact, the greater the visit, the greater the progress. That's the long and the short of this. Because if you see any of these awliya-i-kiram and buzruganadin, then this was one common feature that was always in their lives. Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who was the founder of Jamaat work, right? He was so particular. In one period of his life, he was in constraints. Very severe constraints. Extremely severe constraints. But in that also, he had just 1 cent in his pocket, enough to buy a postcard only. That's all. Everything is gone. Only one. So he wrote up to his Shaykh, Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that my heart desires to, if I can, have the wings, and I'll fly up straight and come to your company. But I don't have the means. See the bonding and the type of relationship that they have. So there wasn't any saintly person who didn't spend sufficient time. Sometimes every month or something, 1 day, 2 days, they're spending 2 days, 3 days, 40 days, 20 days, 10 days, according to time, availability, etc. They are spending time. But where we got this new concept, we come and spend 5 days, 10 days, and we finished. The whole kanka run is finished, it's ironed out, it's worked out. And now I spend the time, why is it not working out for me? But did you give the right amount of time? There's a system to do everything. Everything is a system. Like saying, you know, I came to the shop 1 month now, why am I not flourishing? I must have millions of rands now. 1 month I came. By 1 month is just the start. Every month you have to service. That was just for the physical dimension. Every month you have to go to the shop, every day. Now for the spiritual, just 1 month you came, 10 days you came, everything worked out. See, our thinking is not right. Furthermore, Thami Sabhanada says, we're talking of Amar bil Maruf. I saw someone in the train traveling with me, and his trouser was below his ankles. So, it came out from my mouth, Shariat ne is cheez ko mana kiya. The Shariat has prohibited this, that this is not the right thing. So that person swore the Shariat. Now, Murana is a very balanced, very mature person, very, very understanding. So he says, ye to kusur mera hai. Maine usko ek makruh se mana karne ki koshish ki, اور کفر کی حد تک میں نے اس کو پہنچا دیا. آئی ٹرائی ٹو اسٹاپ ہم فار سم تھنگ مکرو بٹ آئی براٹ ہم رائٹ ٹو دا ڈور آف ڈس بلیف بیکاز ہی سو دا شریعہ. What is the Sharia? The Quran and the Hadith. That's what he saw. Now, because it's done in ignorance, and we will try and cover up for the person, don't make him a kafir, but this is what I have done. Hazrat Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah says, when he just started off, you know, tabligh work, etc., so there was a university student coming up to him, and he seemed to be taking to Maulana. So Maulana, in a very, very subtle way, spoke about his beard. University student, clean shaven. He didn't even speak, he just indicated to the beard. So usne to aana hi band kar diya. He stopped coming to Maulana. So Maulana says, ki ye to mera kusur, it's my mistake. Because maine kacche tawe par maine aata rakh diya. The tawa, you know where you put make the roti. The roti wasn't yet hot and I just put the aata there. So how is it going to work? How is the dough going to turn into roti? Now these were people that were practical, they were mature, they were very, very understanding. They didn't try to justify their stance. If it was today, one of us, yeah, I told him the right thing, you know. I told him what I was supposed to be telling him. Now, he didn't accept it, was his mistake, not my mistake. Now, these people were of that superior level of understanding. Allah make them like kings of the deen, you see. So they had that understanding, and they opened the door for us, you see. There's a style, there's a way, there's an approach to people. We need to draw them to deen, but how do you draw them? How do you call them? How do you win them to deen? So you have to come to them, and you will learn the style, you will learn the system, you'll understand. Now Maulana understood this. When he understood this, now again he was traveling by train. And, you know, the trains have apartments. So you have about 5 people in one apartment. So in that very apartment is one judge. In those days you didn't have planes and you didn't have cars. Very few people had cars. The roads went right. So you can't drive long distances because the roads were not right. So even judges and all that had to travel by train. So it's a private apartment and this judge is sitting there. In the meanwhile, Maulana has heard, okay, the station here, the train is going to be stopping here for about 15 minutes. You know, you have a long stop and you have a short stop. So in a long stop, you can jump off, do your things and come back. It was namaz, Maghrib namaz time was approaching. So Maulana's Khadim, Maulana got off to perform the namaz, called Azan. And they are about to perform the namaz. So one of the senior Khadims told Maulana, you know the judge, he took a serious liking for you. A great liking he took for you. And he's not coming for namaz. Can't you just also invite him for namaz? So Maulana told him, but he's a Muslim also. Doesn't he know that namaz is for us? So now the senior Khadim got a little bit of an informal relationship. Said, now he knows, but he's not coming. So if you call him, you know, he's got an understanding. He's got a respect for you. So he will give in and he'll come for namaz. So Maulana, in order to brush the Khadim off now, he says, but if you got so much of feeling for him, why don't you call him? With so much of feeling. Say, aapke hote hue main kahan unko bulau? Whilst you are around, then how can I call him? So Maulana said, no, I'm not going to call him. Anyway, Maulana didn't call him. And Maulana came back, took his place. This person didn't perform his namaz. And Maulana spoke to him with the same cheer, same type of love, attention. The cheer, the love and attention did not at all change. Because he thought just now he's going to catch the sticks just now. But Maulana spoke to him with the same love, with the same cheer, with the same understanding. What I'm getting at is, you see, enjoining the truth has to be done differently in different situations. This was one situation, but how are you going to do it? And you learn it, as I say, at the feet of your elders. You're going to keep to your elders, you'll understand. But you don't want to keep with your elders. Now you'd say, I told him what I'm supposed to be telling him. That was faraz, I told him. Amr bin Maruf was faraz, I told him. So he's not doing, I've done my duty now. He can go to Jahannam. See, this is the type of attitude you will have. Now was that the attitude of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Nabi Sallallahu attitude was, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِيٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مِنْ Allah himself is sympathetic towards Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Perhaps you'll destroy yourself in pursuing the hidayat. You're crying, you are wishing for them, you're trying to do everything to bring them through. You know, to what extent you're going to bring them on the right. Anyway, all said and done, after about 5 or 6 months, this Khadim of Mulana's, he wasn't an ordinary person, Khaja Majzub Sahib, he was also a university professor, he was. He was that Khadim I'm talking of. So this Khaja Majzub Sahib, he saw the same person after about 6-7 months. So that person is introducing him to Khaja Sahib. Okay, do you know who I am? No. Say, no, you know that I was traveling with you people in that apartment, 5 of us. Yeah, oh, now I remember. And then he went on to say, but you know, it was Maghrib time and all you people jumped off the train and I'll perform your namaz. And I remained sitting there. Yeah, now I it's ringing a bell. He didn't want to give the other story, you know, what he was doing. Says, you know, but I marveled Maulana, you know. Maulana didn't tell me one single word. He didn't tell me a single word. And then he came back and he spoke to me with the same cheer, same love and attention. And you know, really I was getting drowned in embarrassment. Okay, I am wronging and I'm wronging wholesale. Full I'm wronging. I'm not performing namaz with the rest of the Jamaat. And Maulana is, he's tolerating me and enduring me to such an extent. So his endurance, his love and his compassion, really, I was drowned in Maulana's compassion and love. But you know, that day I didn't read my namaz, and this is now 7 months going past. Not a single namaz have I missed out. And you see this beard from then. I was really, really taken aback by his character and his approach. So again, he had to do it, but what was the circumstance? Now you can't take the story of Maulana in isolation. Say, no, hey, mustn't talk about namaz and mustn't call people for namaz, because you know, you tell them then they won't come. Keep quiet so they'll come. You can't take it, understand it in perspective. Don't misquote. This is the fear that there is a misquote, is deficient knowledge. You don't understand things in perspective, that you're just quoting it out of context, creating problem for everybody. This Maulana's incident, say, in the, you know, they have, after Maghrib, they have a guest talk. The guest talk is mentioned this incident. So all the brothers, you know, you don't talk about namaz, just go and meet them. How are you? You all right? So it's not going to work. If you understand these people, these Buzurgan Adeen, in context, in perspective, what they were talking about, what they were driving towards, you understood them, now you can apply it correctly. But you didn't understand them, you understood half, didn't understand it, and then you want to apply that, obviously, you are wrong, you see. So this associating and connecting yourself with your elders, that is why in the hadith Rasulullah is also warned, perhaps Allah has shown Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that this is going to be the status quo before Qiyamah. What is going to be like? Ya'jabu kulli dhi ra'im bi ra'ihi. Everybody will become self-opinionated. People become self-opinionated. Everybody thinks that he is, well, very smart, he's understanding, he can read between the lines, he understands. Nobody needs to come and explain things to him. So as a result, he doesn't keep a contact with his elders. He's doing as his mind will tell him. And if he feels that I'm not competent enough, then he will talk to his elders. But if he thinks that he's competent enough, then why, who's the elder? Why must I talk to him? What's so great about him? What's a great deal? He's not a train smash. So you will make this type of statements. But when he thinks that he's not competent enough, then he'll keep talking. And he'll feel himself to be deficient. I'm still deficient. I still need them. And then that feeling where he feels to himself that I'm deficient will bring about progress, will bring about taraqqi for that person. So this contact with the elders. And Nabi Sallam is predicting what is going to be the problem before the day of Qiyamah, Ya'jabu kulli dhi ra'in. Now I ask you, if anybody feels that I am too smart, I can understand things in perspective, does he see a need to keep a contact with his elder? See now, Nabi Sallam must have been shown that this is what's going to be happening before the day of Qiyamah. He thinks he's too smart, he thinks he's too intelligent, He thinks he's too wise. Now, how are we to get through this person? How are we to advise this person? How do we get through this person? So this is one of the major problems of the day and the major importance of the day of Qiyamah. The Nabi Sam already showed that this is going to be one of the major problems. One of the major problems that each person will become self-opinionated. He thinks I'm right and I don't need to take the cue and listen from anybody. I don't need to relate and associate with my elders. So obviously, the solution is simple. We understood from the problem, we understand what is the solution. You see this self-opinionating and what destruction, what wrong it can create for a person. Every step of the path that you have to contact. Hisham Kalbi now, he became a Mulana, he became a big person. So he read, it's book knowledge, and a person has got more book knowledge, then he can't apply himself rightly. So in the book he's reading now, that the beard, it must be first length. So what he did, he caught his beard like this, and he cut like this. And he thought to himself, see, I am such an intelligent person, such a wise person I am. In Fathul Mulim, Shabir Ahmad Usmani, writes this incident. He says he's so wise that I memorized the Quran Sharif from cover to cover just in 2 or 3 days. So brilliant he was. But when he made a mistake, he made such a mistake that he caught his beard like this and he cut here. But what is this? What is this showing? This is showing that no matter where you are, who you are, but you need this type of a relationship, you need this type of a contact, where you can say to your elders, "But I don't know it, please guide me. I'm seeking out for help." One of the greater obstructions in this way, in fact, the whole road of piety, any road, perhaps applies even to education and madrasas, jamaat, tabligh, even khanqah, every way it applies. But one of the major obstruction is ujub. See, where you learn that this is a major problem. See, there are two greater battles that were fought in Islam, two, three greater battles. One was Badr, one was Uhud, and one was Hunayn, right? If you study the whole demographics of Badr or Uhud, right, of Uhud, then you understand the weakness there that brought a temporary failure was not listening to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam outwardly. Outwardly, there was an outer problem, there was a physical problem. Right? Nabi Sallam posted them to a certain post, but they moved away from that post. وَعَسَيْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ So, this was not listening to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, although they came to the senses and Allah Ta'ala forgave them for it, so we can't speak about it. But the lesson that we draw is from a physical dimension, outwardly they fail to keep up with the command of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Don't move from this position. Right? So, the outer obedience, outward obedience is so important that because of that, Nabi Sallallahu is in your midst, the Sahaba in your midst, you're fighting for the cause of deen, but you could face that temporary failure. Although at the end of the day, Allah Ta'ala gave them the victory again. Right? But you had to go through the temporary failure, which resulted in how many losses? 70 people passed away and martyred. Nabi Sallallahu Mubarak teeth was shaheed. He had an injury on the head. He was unconscious for some time. So all these things had happened. This was because of the problem and the failure here at Uhud. Right? Then if you study the Hunayn, right? Again, there was a temporary failure again. There was a failure again, but temporary. But Allah Pak speaks about this. Why? Not so that we can run down and condemn or criticize the Sahaba Kiram. But the Sahaba Kiram are a guiding light, right? So you will get all your lessons and your precedents from the Sahaba Kiram. Everything you'll get from them. So they were like an example. Allah Pak made them an example. So what you see from them, that's an example for you. So the problem here again came not from the outer dimension, it came from the inner dimension. The inner dimension was أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ. You know, the self-opinionated, self-admiration. So they had become victim to self-admiration. They were on that day approximately 10,000-11,000 strong on the day of Uhud. Because it happened just after the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. At that time they were about 10,000. And the new people, new recruits, added all 11,000-12,000 they were, right? So they, in that happiness and that excitement, they said, لَن نُغْلَبَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ قِلَّةٍ. Today, we can never be defeated because of our minorities. So their nazar was turned from Allah Ta'ala onto what? Onto their numbers, right? So it wasn't an outer disobedience, it was an inner disobedience. They fell victims to an inner problem. And the inner problem was self-admiration, ujub. So this both incidents combined together is conveying the message to the Muslims by you want victory, then get the outer right and get the inner right as well. You can't just say, I got the outer right and I will just walk over the enemy. You get the outer right and you get the inner right. Now Allah Ta'ala, with His grace, He will shower His grace upon you. See the importance of both and the self-admiration, the self-opinionation, and what destruction, what disaster it can bring to you. Allah Ta'ala, tawfiq nasib.